Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, Aaron O'Brien. With me is David Duncan. Say hello.
Say hello.
Hello. Nice.
Say hello, people. Spock.
Hello, Spock. Hopefully we'll get Holly on to the podcast here in a moment. We're just trying to move along because it's getting late in our time.
Move along home. Alan Moraine. Step by four. Step on my toes, Alan Moraine.
Oh my god!
Kill me now.
Why did you bring that up?
You said like move along home. I was like, oh,
move along home.
It just made me think of Alan Moraine. Jump by four. Let's do hopscotch and shoot ourselves in the face. Alan Moraine.
What was that?
Move along home.
Move along home.
Where Cisco, Jadzia, and Kira get stuck in some weird aliens game.
Yeah, that's a terrible episode. Don't ever watch that episode.
Makes me so sad.
It does make me sad, too. Dave, we got a couple threads of news coming through. The one was from Star Trek Discovery Season 3, a little quote from Doug Jones, who plays Saru. I'm just going to read this out. It says, "The story is unfolding at a rapid pace. Season 3 is going to blow you away. We jump to the future
pants.
Yeah, I know. We jump to the future at the end of season two. This is a big deal. We've boldly gone where no Star Trek series has gone before. We started before the original series. Now we jumped all the way till after Voyager. So we're going to see what happens in the future. What condition is the Federation in? We do not know yet. We're going to find out when we land. What happens to me and my rank? I'm commander, but I'm also acting captain of the ship because we lost all our captains now.
You're going to be acting bathroom cleaner very shortly.
I know. I You're going to be chop suey soon. I take the ship, and so do I get to keep the captain's chair? Do I have to give it away to another Federation Starfleet captain in the future? We're going to find out all that when we get there." And then he wraps up and says, "There's absolute freedom that we've done. There's an absolute freedom that we're all excited about, the writers especially. They adhere to canon beautifully in the timeline before the original series."
I'm sorry.
"They got us in a great transition that will go into the original series now seamlessly. Now we've jumped ahead that we can add to canon and make canon in a whole new chapter. And that's very exciting for all of us.
Let's make canon great again."
I know, right? Doug Jones, we love you. Your character is wonderful.
A little melodramatic.
But I think you're stating the obvious, as usual. And
the iPhone 12 is the best iPhone we've ever made.
I know. It's just, you know, you haven't made a lot of good choices pre-original series. You bumbled it. You fumbled the ball quite a bit. Admittedly, you picked up a little bit in season two, and you fixed some things that should have been fixed, but it still wasn't perfect.
Yeah, but the thing is, it started off great, then it kind of like got all wonky. So I hope we'll have a strong season throughout in season three of Discovery. And I just don't know why they would even keep the ship around. They just pull it apart and like use its spore drive and stick it into a more advanced ship. They are going 1,000 years into the future.
Why not all make suits and just go back into the future or go back into the past?
Maybe.
They did it so quickly.
Build Red Angel suit. We can do it in 5 minutes.
No, let's do it in 5 minutes.
We just got to go get more time crystals. I mean, quartz. You got to get more quartz. The power of the time ship suits.
I like science.
I like science. I like quartz. I need it for my watches.
I like Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. Ooh, who's that?
We also got some other information. Apparently a little bit was revealed about Tarantino's treatment of what his plan was for the Star Trek movie he's been proposing. So this is the plan. In this film, we're going to see the crew go back in time and revisit past events from both the previous movies and the rebooted series, as well as the original series. So they're going to do both of them along the way. So they'll run in some familiar faces who the Star Trek fans will get a kick out of seeing, but the details still remain unclear. So they're going to
do Star Trek Endgame.
Yeah, kind of.
We're going to do what they did on Marvel's Endgame.
This is totally Tarantino doing his montage thing. He does this quite a few movies. He throws montages in.
But it's a full movie of montages.
Admittedly, he's very good at it, and usually they're quite funny or they have like something in it that's interesting. But I don't know, man. And it's supposed to be rated R. And it's supposed to be pretty bloody, so.
Edith Keeler, Gone Wild.
Edith Keeler.
I just want to see world peace in our time.
But in the meantime, we're going to make these bums fight to the death.
Archie, that bum's got your sandwich. Archie.
That'd be great.
That she talks like Edith
Bunker. Edith. That'd be so great.
Edith. Yeah.
I can't wait.
That's interesting. I don't know. It could be good. It could be a hot steaming pile of shit.
It could be. I mean, who knows? And like we posted this on the Synthaholics group, and many people reported that this site is infamously bad with its track record of accuracy. So it may not even end up being true. But it's interesting food for thought, especially considering the last news we had was Quentin Tarantino didn't understand the time travel aspect of the reboot series. And if he doesn't understand that, it seems odd that he would be adding more time travel on top of time travel he didn't already understand.
Just give Tarantino the trilogy of Back to the Future movies. And like, yes. Please watch this.
That would be great.
It's not perfect, but it'll give you a clear enough idea.
That would be good. Just don't do the silly thing. If you see yourself in the past, the world explodes. That's kind of hokey. But you know, Doc believed in it, so it would probably be true because he believed it hard enough. He would make it a tulpa, and it would just happen. Because yeah. both of him would believe it so hard, it would actually happen, even though it wouldn't really probably happen. Also, one other thing I wanted to bring up with news is a couple weeks ago we reported on the Battlestar Galactica being rebooted. Apparently, it's not a reboot. It is a spinoff, and that's basically where they left it. The last time they did a Battlestar Galactica spinoff, it was fucking terrible. Fucking terrible.
Yeah,
Caprica was a great idea, implemented the worst way possible.
Yeah, you said that you gave up. I mean, you watched all the series. I gave up within like three or four episodes. I couldn't watch this. This is dumb.
I watched all of it and suffered through it. I just wanted it to get good because it had so much potential to be amazing. And
it did.
I just was
really
waiting
did.
For the point where it could get amazing. And instead of it being good, it was some weird bickering family drama. The exact thing that happened with the Terminator Chronicles. Instead of a family drama, it was a boyfriend-girlfriend drama where, like, the Terminator stuff fell by the wayside. I'm like, just tell the Terminator story, for the love of God, for the love of all that is good in the world. Just tell the story that the show is supposedly based on. Just do that, please. Tell a story that I care about. I don't care about the squabbling.
Yeah, I
know.
Give
me big-picture stuff.
Hopefully they don't do what they did before. I wasn't really sure what the direction they were going to go with the Caprica, and they just...
It seemed like it was a Cylon origin story where they were going to go into the Cylon production, how they started to take over, and how the original First War went down. That would have been fantastic, but they didn't get there.
Yeah.
They didn't even come close.
Right.
And so that was super disappointing. I wouldn't mind if they wouldn't try to reboot Caprica and do it right, like just do it as like a prequel spinoff and like show how the First War came about, show how the Cylons rose up, and that would be great because we got little snippets of that. I don't know where else they could go as a spinoff series. It seems like a bad idea to spin off. I think a reboot would be better, especially if they can keep those last two seasons under wrap and keep the story together. Because, I mean, I liked Battlestar Galactica, but the last two seasons kind of, like, went all over the place.
Yeah, so, yeah, you've said that more than once. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would just love for them to tell the story in a more cohesive way. But a spinoff, that's... I don't know. I don't know if I'm as excited about that, considering there's zero details other than that. It is a spinoff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Because the guy was just like, wait up, guys. This is not a reboot. This is a spinoff. See you later. That's all I've got for you. I'm like, oh, well, that's... my hands are so big.
My hands are big. No problem in the pants department.
No problem.
So that's what we got for news. A couple things before we get into the rest of the show, guys, just so you know, you can find our show at Synthaholics.com if you're looking for our website. You can also join us at the Facebook, our group is Facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. Join us there. We have a nice group going on. If you have any comments or thoughts that you want to send to us, you can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can tweet at us at Synthaholics Duo as well. And lastly, if you want to help support the show, please do visit our Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics, and consider donating to us and help us keep the lights on.
Keep the lights on, keep the website running so you guys can be all set.
Absolutely. And who do we have here?
I'm just a fly on the window.
Oh, hello.
That's a nice sounding fly. I've never heard a fly sound so pleasant before.
So cute. That's a cute sounding fly.
I can't believe I just said I was a fly. I fucking hate flies.
I know. They're the worst.
They're the worst.
Are they worse than mosquitoes, though? Because mosquitoes suck your blood.
I was just going to say, mosquitoes... Yeah.
I a couple weeks ago, this is totally off track. I got stung by a bee in my nostril. So that sucks.
You know what? On my birthday, when I was like, I think I turned 6 or 7.
Just mistake it for cocaine?
What?
Okay.
No, I got stung by a bee. So I went out to the trampoline to jump on the trampoline when it was still wet and dewy.
Like you do.
Like you do. And, I was little, and I'm still little, but pulled myself up onto the trampoline and rolled right on top of a bee, and it stung me, like, right in my rib cage on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your nose.
I've been stung, often, but, it doesn't really hurt, but getting stung in your nostril, it's a different story.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if you'd mistaked it for cocaine or something. Just like, that was a bee.
No, it literally flew inside my nose.
That's awful.
And I was like, oh, get out of here. I'm not even scared of bees or at all. It just like, I was like, what the fuck? So, my nose swells up to the size of an elephant trunk. What happened to Aaron?
There lays Aaron, who died of elephantitis of the face.
You go to work the following day with like one of those masks on so you don't freak out your clients.
I'm not an animal.
But I might be joining the circus.
Yes, I will be. Did you ever see the movie The Greatest Showman? That's about me. Except I'm an elephant.
I think Holly watched that movie on repeat for a month straight.
Oops, I didn't mute my phone. You think Holly what?
I think you watched it on repeat for a month straight.
Dude, that's not a lie.
I know. That's why I said it.
I currently have the soundtrack in my car because my daughter listens to it every freaking day.
It's so good. The greatest show. Yes. Oh my gosh. So for
the greatest you guys know,
I have that, that fandom group that I'm attached to. And I know I've told you about the House Cup before, but for the very last challenge in 2018, we had to make a video, and I wrote a song to The Greatest Showman about being nerdy and playing games in this cup, and it was awesome. And I got like 6 other girls to sing it, and I put the video together, and we all sang it. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
I never showed that to you guys?
No.
Oh my gosh. I'll have to show it to you. You'll laugh.
Sounds great. It's a great song.
Yeah.
So, Holly, we just went over news, and we are ready to get into the main topic of our conversation.
What? What? What?
And we are talking about, for the first time in about 4 years, Star Trek First Contact.
Woohoo!
The movie.
It's been a long time since we talked about a movie. That's a Star Trek movie, anyway.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last movie we talked about. I mean, a Star Trek movie, that is. Yeah. The last movie I think we talked about was Ice Pirates?
Yes, Ice Pirates.
I was thinking about Ice Pirates today because...
Like you do.
Like you do. Because I was... No, was it last night? I don't remember. Ice Pirates is kind of like a rom-com in space.
A bit. A bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit. A
but if that's
bit.
The only rom-com in space, we need Hollywood to do better.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They could do better all the way around in that movie.
Don't misunderstand, people. We actually really enjoy Ice Pirates.
I do enjoy Ice Pirates. It's a great movie, but it is silly as shit. First Contact was release date was November 22nd, 1996. And its budget was $45 million, and its box office pull was that brought in was $146 million. So kind of tripled the money it was supposed to make.
That's pretty substantial. That's great.
So, I guess the U.S. and Canada only made $92 million, which is, it's just about double. But then the rest of all the worldwide brought in the rest of the money, the extra 45. But and this is obviously takes place after the whatever you want to call it, the handoff movie Generations, where Picard and Shatner gets to hang out together.
I wish they didn't do that.
Why did you do that, people?
Why did you have to make a mediocre two-part movie instead of just its own next-gen movie?
But they crashed the Enterprise, so...
I think that's why they did it, just to crash the Enterprise.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was kind of cool at the time. We'd never seen anything like that before.
It is true.
I was cool in my time.
Yeah.
It was a great miniature. They just dug up the Earth, and it's like, oh, why'd you put the woman in charge of driving the ship? Why'd you put the therapist in charge of driving? She's got so much baggage.
It's bad optics.
Bad optics. She can't feel the ship like she can feel the people. The ship is inanimate.
This was their first standalone movie. We get the actual movie starts off, and this is where we get the memories of Captain Picard being assimilated, and this terrible nightmare that he's having, and then he wakes up. And it's Starfleet is talking, or a call from the Admiral, and it's about the Borg cube, and he already knows.
He knows. He had this great dream where he was in a Borg cube, and then he woke up, and then he was still in a dream because the Borg implants that are shooting out of his face.
Yeah, yeah. So, as we're showing off right off the bat, that even if you never saw the series, Picard had some issues with being assimilated.
Trauma, people. It's not good for you.
Then we get a shot of the new Enterprise after, obviously, we said it was blown or crashed. The Enterprise E, the Sovereign class, instead of the Galaxy class, which is nice. And
it's a beautiful ship.
It is a nice looking ship. We get a chance to look at they're ordered to the Romulan neutral zone to do scans and
chasing this is, comets.
Yeah, because basically the Borg are approaching the Earth, and they want Picard kind of out of the way. So, and it's brought to attention later that yes, Starfleet has every faith in the crew of the Enterprise. It's just their captain they're a little worried about.
We've been in the ship for a year. We're ready, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
They just don't get real confident in me because I'm a literal old man who owns a vineyard. Oh, wait, that hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet. But so when they've engaged the Borg, Picard tunes into AM radio and listens to the game. And this is when he decides to come off the bench and get into the fight.
I love how like it's like it'll take like days to get there. Then all of a sudden they can get there in a couple of minutes from the neutral zone.
Yeah, I know. And you know, Picard says, "Anybody who you know, just state now if you're, because we're in violation of."
Where have I seen that before?
What's Star Trek that? 6.
Mm. To say it, like, basically the exact same thing.
Yeah, Spock was like, to hell with our orders. And that's what Data said. It was basically the exact same thing. Star Trek 6.
That's right. That's
whenever
right.
They were like talking about going to rescue Kirk and Bones.
So by the time they get to Earth, there's a big fight happening. And then we obviously see this is where Worf is captaining the USS Defiant from Deep Space Nine, because he's already made the transition over there. And they beam him up just at the last minute because their ship's been crippled. So we get Worf back on the ship.
But nobody else from Deep Space Nine that we care about.
So apparently there was a scene with Sisko in there that was deleted.
Really? I didn't read that in. Was it on the Memory Alpha?
There's a couple people saying that there was a scene with Sisko that he was just a scene ordering Worf to engage the Borg with the Defiant, and it was just a quick scene, and then he just got rid of it. So they're like, this doesn't serve any purpose.
Well, like he should have come with them. It would have been great to have a team. We'll get into this later.
Yeah. Anywho, you just want to see Sisko in action.
I want to see Dax in action. I want to see Kira Nerys getting Picard's face instead of stupid movie.
You want to see a Deep Space Nine movie. That's what you want.
I want to see Kira spread it wide.
Oh, jeez.
Ew.
I'd rather see Dax, but, you know.
So, the crew's all back together, and when Worf gets onto the ship, Riker asks if he still knows how to fire torpedoes. So that was kind of funny.
Worf is not amused by that joke.
Yeah. Or fires phasers or whatever. So this is when the Borg ship...
Remember what the torpedo button is?
The Borg ship is defeated when Picard takes over the fleet and...
But it poops out a little Borg sphere.
Isn't that the cutest little poopy Borg sphere?
Little turd it goes, shoots out.
And it shoots out, and it goes into it, makes a temporal vortex, and it starts going into the past. And this is where Picard doesn't hesitate and says, pursue that ship, and they get sucked into the vortex. And while it's happening, they're seeing that the Earth has changed, and it's all Borg. So they realize they've done something in the past, and they have to fix it. So they go back to the 21st century, and this is where we go... down to Montana, we get the old booze hound from Bozeman.
Actually, I think one of the ships when he tunes in the AM radio was the Bozeman.
Is it?
I think I heard it in the dialogue, in the scatter dialogue.
So there's this bar, and we get to we see Lily and Zefram Cochran walk out of this bar, and that's when the funny thing is, Lily points to a constellation, and I think he says it's Leo.
Yes, it's Leo. Wolf 359 is actually in the constellation Leo.
Actually is in Leo, right, exactly.
And Wolf 359 is a real place.
It is a real, it's a real star out there. Anyways, that's when the Borg starts firing on their encampment there. And what we don't know yet, but we'll find out later, is that this is a site of an old like nuclear missile silo that's been repurposed for Zefram Cochran's experiment with warp technology.
Money maker.
Money. You're going to make all the money with a beautiful woman in a...
The naked women island that I own and created.
And I want a gold-plated grill.
He's kind of like Zap Brannigan, isn't he now?
He's a little bit like Zap Brannigan, except very drunk.
Less showy.
Except drunk.
He's the drunk Zap Brannigan.
The Enterprise comes out of the temporal vortex to destroy the Borg sphere, and after that, they see where they what time they've landed. It's April 4th, 2063, and this is a day before first contact with the first alien species. And this is goes into the lore of Star Trek of how there was World War III, and after World War III, humanity was decimated and the Earth was decimated, and we've rebuilt a better society afterward. So, so this is where we decided they what were they targeting, and there was a place in Montana, and they put everything together. It's like, oh, they're targeting Zefram Cochrane's missile silo. And so Picard and crew beam down to the missile silo, and this is where they run into Lily, who starts firing on them, and Data does this awesome kick-ass move of jumping down, what, like three stories, four stories?
Yeah, all of a sudden he's bulletproof now.
I know, it's pretty cool.
Well, there's cool, the Robin Hood episode, he gets shot with an arrow, and he's like, it missed anything important, so I'm fine.
Well, he could have updated himself since it upgrades.
It's true. Upgrades.
Upgrades. So there is a lot of radiation, and Lily kind of passes out because of the radiation. And Dr. Crusher takes her to sickbay. And Picard's like, ah. And then Crusher's like, shut up, Picard. I'm taking her.
We're going to do it.
Meanwhile, they're going to try to repair the ship and get everything fixed up in the missile silo so they can actually make their trip into space so they can make first contact. So that was that's the mission so far, that they're going to start fixing things up. And they have to find Zefram Cochrane, make sure he's not dead. So that's fun stuff.
Save him. Fix him.
Next
go
week,
back in time.
We get a quick scene. Yeah.
Can we get him sober if we go back in time a little bit further?
If you go further in time, he's very sober. So we go back on the ship. We see some engineers are working on some environmental control problems. And when they go in the Jeffrey's tube, there's something sneaking around up there. And that is when we find out it's the Borg. And they are on the ship somehow. And they're sneaking around like Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Fixing the thermostat. Got some Borgs to make now.
So the Borg are on the Enterprise, and this is where Picard just realized it's got to be on the ship, and they've got to start taking care of getting rid of these Borg infestation. And the Borg then start attacking sickbay with Dr. Crusher when she has to bring Lily around, and Lily has no idea where she's at. And they sneak through a little crawl space, and they bring in Robert Picardo, the EMF or EMF EMH doctor, and to try to stop the
I'm Borg. A doctor, not a doorstop.
Which doesn't work.
I hear Borg plants are itchy. Here's some analgesic cream for your butthole.
So,
those Borg acid plants aren't the nicest.
So, the Borg, yeah, they wipe with poison ivy. Mm.
It's the perfect way to wipe. We're all about perfection.
That and poison oak. Mm-hmm. Picard and Data and Worf get a security team put together, and they get their phaser rifles put together and with a rotating modulation so they can get at least 12 shots before the Borg adapts to their phasers. So we're seeing that they're kind of getting more used to fighting the Borg at this point. So this is where the Borg, they run into the Borg, and I'm sorry, before they run into the Borg, Picard says, if anybody gets assimilated...
make them die. Don't save them like you saved me.
Yeah, don't save them like you saved me. It's a terrible thing to do.
Don't have mercy on them like you did on me. Just murder them.
So then we're back on Earth. Riker finds Counselor Troi at the bar, and she is talking to Zefram Cochran, and they're both drunk. And she thinks, in her professional opinion, that he's nuts. And Troi is drunk. She's very drunk, and so she's and then she finally passes out at the end. So, but anyways, they found Zefram Cochran. Down on the, back up on the Enterprise, they run into the Borg, of course, and Data gets his motion chip turned off. So that's a funny scene where he just shuts it off.
Data, there are times I envy you, and your fully functionality and programmed in multiple techniques.
Yes, and
I wish I was fully functional without blue pills.
So Dr. Crusher finds Worf's team, and she says Lily has no idea where she is, and she's alone on the ship, so you got to help her. So
help her. Don't let her die.
Let her die.
So
let her die. Let her die.
So the Borg attack. They get into fights with the Borg with phaser fire, and during that time, Data is captured by the Borg. He's pulled in feet first.
So. They pull him through. Oh, no, it's like almost like a horror movie. They're trying to play this like sort of like a horror movie, but it's not very scary.
It is a bit of a horror movie. It's not super scary, but, you know.
It's also the first Star Trek with a PG-13 rating.
Really? PG-13?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the first one that came with a PG-13 rating, I think.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. In the Jeffrey's tube, going to the Jeffrey tube, Picard sees one of his crewmen asking for help, and he just shoots him. And this is where Lily and Picard make their first acquaintance, and she gets to jump on him with his phaser, and she's kind of holding him hostage, I guess, a bit, trying to get out of the Enterprise. But Picard's like, it's not that easy.
And she's got the phaser set to vaporize.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. And then we get Data in main engineering, and he's on an operating table, and this is where he gets to hear the Borg talk to Data for the first time. We don't get to see the Queen yet, but we get to understand that this is something's that he's been captured.
They did a good job. Don't show the monster the first chance you get. Those are great.
Exactly. Devil in the Dark.
Mm-hmm. You gotta not reveal the monster first thing. It's great.
You gotta tease the monster.
Mm-hmm. Cock tease the monster. Like, it gets cock teased.
Oh, he gets cock teased so bad. I'm reconstructing a flesh penis for you.
So that's what she blows on. It's too close, so you can tell.
Yeah, I know. Right.
He's like, ooh, that felt good.
So, then we get to the officer back on Earth. They're trying to get Cochran to they're telling him the whole story, and he's trying to take it all in. And they show him with a telescope, the Enterprise.
What the shit are you talking about? What'd you do to my telescope?
So you're just all in some sort of Star Trek?
He said it. He said the title. He said it.
And they explain to him that when he makes his first warp flight, this is where they get aliens see Earth for the first time, and they decide to come down and make contact, and everything changes after that, and Earth is turned into a utopia. And Zefram Cochran agrees to do it, and so they're going to get their work underway and get the ship ready to take off. Back on the Enterprise, more of the ship is being taken over, and they have some decks are completely taken over, so there's not much they can do. And
why would they stop on this deck?
And then Picard takes Lily to this porthole that's looking over Earth, and this is where he shows planet Earth and where they actually are.
There's a force field here.
Yeah, it's a great scene. Actually, between Picard and Lily, the scenes between them two are just absolutely fantastic. They're such great actors, both of them, and it's amazing. So, So in engineering, this is where we first we go. Data's back there on his operation table again, and this is where we first get to meet the Borg Queen as she comes down, half, you know, her spinal cord attaches to her body. Very, very creepy.
It's very, very cool, but it's another thing that sort of like looks to a horror movie vibe, where it's just like spine tingly and weird, but also still not very scary, but almost an homage to something that could be scary in a different circumstance.
Right. I think it was only creepy when you see it later on. I didn't find it creepy. I don't like scary.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's creepy, but it's like it could be in a different circumstance. You know what I mean? Like it's. It's the embodiment of creepy without it actually being creepy because of the way they did it.
Yeah, and she plays a great role. It is like dances this line between being a bad guy, but also somewhat seductive.
Soft. Mm-hmm. She's very soft.
And it's just weird. It's just a weird tightrope thing that she's walking. So it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Evil seduction.
Kind of Frankenstein monster-ish too at the same time.
Yeah, it is, because she is trying to like make him alive. Mm-hmm. He's alive!
Alive! Give my creation life! So Picard is talking to or is with Lily, and they are trying to get through with the Borg, and this is where he goes into the holodeck and does the big goodbye. Where he plays what's his name, Dixon. Help me out. Remember. Here,
Dix.
Thanks. We did a whole series on it.
The holodeck.
Oh my god. Are you my co-host?
Yes, usually.
Dixon Hill. Thank you.
Dixon Hill. Oh, yeah. Good God. I'm sorry. I was brain fart. I was thinking Nikki the Nose. And I'm like, no, what's Nikki the Nose.
That's the holodeck. Yeah, so Picard goes into the holodeck and pulls up the holo novel, The Big Goodbye with Dixon Hill. And this is where we get the famous gif of Picard with the Tommy gun blasting the Borg out of rage.
Yes, he just starts screaming and stock bash them too.
Yeah, and this is when he's going to smash him some more. Lily's like, "I think you got him.
I think he's dead."
And then when he goes to pull the into the chest cavity to get some parts to read some information from the Borg, Lily realizes it's like he's wearing one of your uniforms, and he goes, "Yes, this was Ensign Lynch.
We lynched him real good, didn't we?"
And he's like, yeah, tough luck for him, huh? And he's like, believe me, he's better off.
He's better off. He's in a better place now.
So, back on Earth, Zefram Cochrane is getting the accolades and the admiration of everybody on engineering crew. And they're all like, hero worship. And, even LaForge talks about the statue that's in Zefram Cochrane's honor. While he's reaching out to the stars.
Yeah, they do lots of hero worship on him, and it makes him very nervous, and he likes to pee a lot.
I like to pee a lot. I'm on dialysis. Next, on engineering, Data is given flesh, and the Borg Queen starts to give him feelings.
Real feelings of blood and skin. Becoming more human the way he's always wanted to be.
And so at that point, he's got flesh, and then he tries to escape and says, well, just rip off that flesh. Just take it off. Tear it off. And he can't seem to do it. And this is where the Borg Queen asked if he's fully functional, and he is in multiple techniques.
And he's referencing 8 years ago. That's when he had sex with Tasha Yar. So that means when he had that whole episode about his girlfriend that he had, that because she broke up with the guy who was emotionally unavailable, so she went out with a robot with no emotions, she never took advantage of having sex with a machine.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Or he just deleted it.
Nah, she didn't do it. She didn't do it. She wasn't going to do it with a guy. She wasn't going to do it with Data.
Oh, poor Data. It's a long. That's quite a dry spell. 8 years.
Yeah, it is. So on the bridge, we find out that their navigational deflector, that the Borg are using it to contact the Moor Borg in the Delta Quadrant. So this is where they decide they're going to get on their environmental suits, and they're going to walk on the hull of the ship.
Which is fun. We don't see that very much in Star Trek.
No, I think we've seen...
They did an Enterprise a couple times.
Did an Enterprise, but also we've seen... we saw this in motion picture for a second when they first walk out to see V'ger.
Yeah,
they walk out on the hull of the ship. That's the first time we ever seen it. Yeah, there's an atmosphere there, but this is the first time we've seen that, like a space, and, you know, they're upside down, and it's disorientating, so it's a cool idea. I like how they did that.
And it's a brand new ship, too, which is kind of fun.
So during that time, they go into with the deflector disc, and they take on the Borg. And they release a deflector dish out into space, and unfortunately, Ensign or Lieutenant Hawk is assimilated.
Poor Ensign Hawk. He was the LGBT's only hope for this movie. There was talk that he was supposed to be gay.
Oh, was he?
And so, you know, they...
We'll never know.
Assimilate our gays.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
They are equal opportunists.
I guess.
They don't care. Just turn that sexuality right off.
Yeah, pretty much. After the Borg Queen.
Yeah. Then
all of the horniness goes straight into her.
That's hilarious.
She siphons it all.
Let me siphon all the horniness to me. Back on the engineering, the Borg Queen says that things have changed, and so because she knows that this their beacon was destroyed, so... So one point for Picard and crew. And back on Earth, the Phoenix is getting underway. It's getting all fixed up.
Bart Cochran just wants to just do anything he can for Mr. Cochran.
Mm-hmm. And Cochran is not going for it, and this is where he runs away.
I gotta take a leak, and Geordi's like, "What the fuck are you talking about? I don't see any leaks."
I don't see any leaks. Oh yeah, don't you pee in the future?
No, do not. Scotty beams it out of us. That's his full time job.
So, and this is where we're back on the bridge. Picard is approached by Worf, saying that the things have gotten worse, and the Borg are taking over the ship, and they've assimilated a bunch of more decks, and. He tells one of the lieutenants to fight hand-to-hand with the Borg if they have to be. And Worf is not having and says, we have to destroy the ship and get off and destroy the Borg with it. And Picard doesn't take too kindly to this, and he calls Worf a coward.
It doesn't seem very Klingon-ly to do this. I've never, ever seen a Klingon be like, hey, we should just, you know, abandon ship and... They're like, just blow everything up. We'll ram it.
I don't know. I think Klingons, again, are just all talk with honor and shit.
I guess. I mean, I feel like Picard is right in the statement. I mean, when he's like talking to Worf. I mean, it may not be the smartest thing to, like, you know, not listen to your crew, but Worf is kind of being a coward.
No, there's no way they can't. They've assimilated to all their modulations. They're taking over all the thing, all the different decks.
So there's let's just stop. Give them the Enterprise.
Yeah,
well, not give them the Enterprise, but remove any chance they could even go anything further and not assimilate Earth. Just get rid of the Enterprise.
Right, but Worf's perspective is that if they stay and fight, they die and give them the Enterprise.
Mm. Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. This is where Picard walks away, and Lily decides that he's going to question Picard's orders, and they have this great scene in the observation lounge where she compares him to Captain Ahab hunting the white whale.
And he puts a laser through his ship collection window.
You broke your widow ships. And this is where he decides that he's gonna. She changes his mind and says that he can't do that. He can't hang onto the ship, and he can't keep fighting the Borg like this.
It's a very weird scene. Like, when you look at it through a just more fine-tooth comb, because he keeps saying, like, oh, we're evolved this, we're not in this for revenge, and he just, like, flips and starts talking crazy like he's gonna take revenge, and like, he kind of goes a little bit mad. It's kind of like, are you listening to yourself when you're talking?
Well, that happens a lot. I've seen people do that all the time. They profess one thing because they hold some idea in their head, but then...
this is Picard.
It doesn't matter.
It should.
He's human.
So, I can wait till the end, or I can say my piece now.
Say your piece now.
Some people need to tell themselves the proper thing to do when what they really want to do is not proper. And sometimes the only way to convince yourself not to do the bad thing is to just continue to affirm that you're going to do the good thing.
Yeah.
And even if you don't hold up to all the idea that you're holding yourself to, at least you're trying.
I see that as trying. Unless you're,
self-deluding yourself.
What's that liar that just says, spews lies and doesn't actually believe any of that? Well, they're all lies, but they believe all their lies. What's that? Something liar. But anyway, he's not that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're talking about not a narcissist.
No, I almost said narcissist, but that's not. It's a something
pathological liar.
Pathological liar. Yeah. Thank you. But no, I think it was an affirmation of, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And she kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And then he was like, that's what I want to fucking do.
Right. Right. And he wants to fight the Borg.
We've all been there, I'm sure. I know I have.
Yeah. He wants to fight the Borg. He wants to stop the Borg. And he does want them. He does want revenge. He even says they will pay for what they've done.
They will pay for what they've done.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was a good impression.
Thank you.
But but he does come out.
Yeah,
no further. So he decides that he's going to evacuate the Enterprise for self destruct. So
because of his friend Lily.
Yeah, Lily gets him to change his point of view. Back on Earth, they're getting ready to do their launch sequence, and they're getting everything all set.
Oh my god, I forgot my MP3 disc.
Yes, I know. They got this MP3.
My Walkman Sony Mini disc. Where's it going?
Yeah, it gets this Walkman cranking, and then back on the ship. They're saying they make a little joke. It says, Enterprise E, we hardly knew you. And Picard says, there's plenty of letters left in the alphabet.
So many letters. So. Can't wait to see the Enterprise Z in Star Trek Discovery Season 3.
I know. just a clear orb floating through space.
That's what they see at Skinwalker Ranch, the Enterprise orb.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's them from the future.
Coming to the past.
So the Phoenix then takes off, and they're going to engage their warp engine. So this is the first time they go into warp. Back on the Enterprise, Lily is going to her escape pod, and Picard says, here, this is all the orders for Riker, but I'm not going. I have a friend I have to go help. And so this is where he decides he's going to go help Data and try to help him. Picard goes into engineering and gets to meet the Borg Queen for the first time. And then this is where she says, basically when he was turned into Locutus, that she would have been, or they would have been like a pair, like a mates of some sort.
I remember you. You were there, but you died. Like, I didn't make sense of the scene until this viewing of the movie. Because I was like, why didn't they... Like, I'm like, how is there still the Borg after they killed the Borg Queen in this movie? But they just said in this movie that she died on the ship in Best of Both Worlds Part 2, and she's still alive. So, like, they've already kind of answered that question in this movie, and I just noticed it this time I viewed it. I'm slow sometimes, guys. I'm sorry.
I don't even know what you mean.
So. She can be in multiple. There can be multiple queens.
Well, look, when one dies, another one just takes over.
Yeah.
Basically.
There's one reserves. Second stringer queen.
Well, it's kind of like the Cylons. Like, when one dies, it just transplants all the memories to the next one. And it just wakes up and takes over.
Mm. Ready to go. Anyways, we find out that Data is now... been halfway turned into with human flesh, and
we get half his face,
and he seems like he is completely into the hands of the queen. That they're a couple now. They're dating or something.
He's got a suave haircut and half a face.
Yeah, that's right. And she wants Data to unlock the Enterprise's command codes, and he does that willingly, and he deactivates the ship's self-destruct. And then she has them
shooting torpedoes at the
fire at the Phoenix, and the Phoenix is going to warp, and this is where he's going to pull the trigger and shoot at the Phoenix with the Enterprise's torpedoes, and the last you think they're going to blow up, and even the Borg Queen's like, watch your future just be destroyed in front of you, and this is where we find out Data purposely missed,
narrowly missed the ship. Good thing nothing happened to the Phoenix where it slowed down or something.
Right. So the Phoenix does make their jump into warp speeds, so the Vulcans can actually see them when they make their jump into warp. And this is where the Queen realizes that Data's not on her side, and Picard ends up ripping out one of these hoses that has a strange gas that can destroy all
Data, the coolant tube.
Data elbows the coolant tube in the warp core, which releases the gas, and Picard climbs up onto those tubings and
Those tubes helped install the Borg Queen into her body.
Yeah, but Picard uses them as a jungle gym. Yeah. And
he Tarzans with them. Oh! Yeah.
And we get a little scene where the Borg Queen is trying to pull him into this gas, and Data.
I think she was trying to save herself from it. I don't think she was trying to pull him down.
Well, maybe.
I mean, a little bit of A, a little bit of B.
But Data pulls her off, and she is destroyed into the gas. And then Picard gets rid of the gas afterward. The Borg have all been disintegrated by this gas.
And did we talk about what the gas does? Because I don't remember that.
Destroys organic
flesh.
It destroys organic, yeah. So it takes away all of the grafts that the Queen did on Data.
Right, so he's...
Or just have to install some plastic back over his internals.
Which is pretty epic, because he had feeling in all of that grafted skin.
He got hurt.
And so brave and selfless of Sir Data.
Brave Sir Data didn't run away.
Bravely ate his flesh away.
Ate his flesh away, brother. Away. It really did.
It really hurt.
It really hurt.
I got better, though.
I got better.
And then we see the Borg Queen in her, what's remaining of her, and Picard just breaks the spinal column, kills her.
That's where
Lily wasn't there to stop him from doing the extra bit this time.
Tough luck for her, huh?
He needed that. Honestly, that was cathartic.
He needed some therapy neck breaking.
Neck breaking, yeah. Back on Montana, this is where we get...
Bitch was going to die anyway.
We get the first contact with the Vulcans, and this is where Picard says goodbye, and even gives Lily a little kiss, and they beam up.
I won't be back, but here's a kiss.
Here's a kiss. Remember me.
Name your children after me.
That wraps up Star Trek First Contact. Guys, what do we think? Who wants to talk first
but about
First
Contact? But wait, the Vulcans come down, and it's Spock's great-grandfather, and he
shakes Stephen Cochran's... I already said the Vulcans came down.
Yeah, but it was his great-grandfather. Spock's great-grandfather.
Do we know that?
Yes.
He's just saying
that. David knows that.
I know that. It's a thing. It's in the Memory Alpha. I think they confirmed it in Enterprise.
Okay. Well, anywho.
I'll go first. Yeah. I haven't been on in a while.
You have been absent. You should go.
Absent. Absent, absent-minded. Two different things, but totally both work.
To absent friends. Well,
obviously about the film, you know, it's a fun film, and I enjoyed it. Obviously, you guys know that I, like, enjoy the Borg. Mm-hmm. I have a question to ask you guys, but I'll ask you after. So, first of all, I kind of just jotted some things down that I kind of wanted to say while you were talking, Aaron. Mm-hmm. So I just noted that, you know, Picard kind of surrendered to Lily when he first met her, even though the phaser was on maximum setting. Like, I don't know. It just felt like, I don't know. Maybe she was such a big personality that he was just like, all right, not going to fuck with her. She's kind of serious. And that kind of formed their bond throughout the film, which was nice. But also it was just kind of like weird to see him at first. When he was just like, okay, I surrender. I'll do whatever you say. And then, you know, he shows her the planet and all that. But they did have a really good friendship. So it was kind of weirdly budding. It was a strange friendship. But I think they're kind of similar.
I like their friendship, actually. And apparently they wanted to write in a love interest between them two. But Patrick Stewart's like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, she was originally supposed to be a photographer, so that would make more sense if they were to fall in love. But yeah, I wasn't a fan of the Lily character.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god, we can't be friends anymore.
I'm sorry. I'll just hang up.
Jesus.
Lily was a hard ass, and
World War III.
True. She just wasn't an easy person to like, but she has really good qualities. And like I said, I think she and Picard are very similar in the way they do business. Do you know what I mean?
Do business.
Did you guys want to say anything else about Lily before we move on?
I love Lily, and fuck all you who don't like Lily.
No, she's great. Did what's his name saying Star Trek make either of you happy?
Yeah, it's funny. And I think that was the first time anybody's ever said actually Star Trek in the series.
I think so. Yeah,
some sort of Star Trek. I don't, it always makes me roll my eyes a little bit whenever they say the name of the thing in the thing.
But you know what? So the reason why it made me super happy is a grammatical weirdness of mine is that I absolutely hate it when people say Star Trek instead of Star Trek.
Yeah, because you're saying Trek.
So, yeah. And I think that it put it into context. And I don't know if it was the writers being like, all right, people, stop fucking saying Star Trek. It is Star Trek. And let's put it into a sentence for you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it may have been inspired by that, which is kind of great in its own way. But still, yeah. It always makes me roll my eyes a little bit when they say the title of the thing and the thing.
Mm-hmm. We say Synthaholics a lot.
It's a little different.
Welcome to Star Trek, the Star Trek.
What else? Last time we talked Picard, I had mentioned that I wanted to see a badass Picard. A less reserved Picard. And David, one of the things you said was, well, in First Contact, he, like, loses his mind and he just mows people down. And I'm assuming you're talking about the scene in the holodeck.
Yes.
I don't, like, I get that he was momentarily rageful, but I don't think that that this whole film shows that he's this rage monster. So I still hope, I'm still holding on to, I'm hoping we see a badass. And I know I told you two in conversation online my new theory, and I haven't told anybody listening. But with destroying the Enterprise, I do get Worf's perspective, but at the same time, I fully understand Picard's wishes to continue to fight, especially dealing with his PTSD with this issue specifically. Like, whether it is done out of vengeance or to make sure that it doesn't happen to anyone else, that I completely understand both sides, but mainly I believe that if I were even doing it for vengeance, the bonus would be that it would never happen to anyone else. So I completely kind of signed with Picard about fighting, and I love that he stayed after he evacuated the ship.
The captain goes down with his data.
His data, yeah, that's right, which was completely selfless. He put himself back into the hands of the Borg to save Data, and I thought that was very selfless. And granted, he knew the ship was going to blow anyway.
He's like, at least I won't be a Borg for very long.
Right, right. And I think that because he took it so hard and he struggled with it for so long, and this whole ordeal impacted his life very strongly, I think the fact that he was willing to face that fear again speaks a lot about his character. That's pretty much it that I have to say about Picard. The Borg Queen, you guys know that I enjoy the Borg. But I did want to mention that I've seen her before, obviously, because I've seen this before. But I just finished watching Carnival Row.
Okay.
On Amazon Prime. And she is the actor who plays the Borg Queen is in Carnival Row. Nice. And she still has that ethereal softness with being very edgy and dark, which nice. I love. And she does a really good job at it. And
is she dominatrix in that too?
No. She's very heavily made up on her face. So most people probably would not have known it was her, but I don't know how you guys are, but as soon as I saw her mouth move, I knew it was her.
Interesting.
Yeah, just because she has this way of speaking. I don't know. She's just cool.
You said you had a question, too?
Yeah, so my question. If you had previously been assimilated, so you're in Picard's shoes, would you guys give the order to have your crew killed if they were assimilated?
It's a tough question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I mean, like, it just seems cruel and unusual to murder people when you know for a fact that people can be saved. And at this point, I don't know if Seven of Nine's made it back from the Delta Quadrant yet, but there are multiple instances of Borg being saved. He saw Hugh become saved.
Yeah, that's where this kind of falls apart, and even Lily makes fun of him, you know, like, tough luck for Ensign Lynch, right?
Yeah, I mean, Red Letter Media, like, speaks about the two Picards, where, like, in the show, he's measured, no matter how much he's trotted upon on the show, he always goes for the high road, and in the movies, he's like a raging maniac, and he does action movie stunts, which doesn't make sense for Picard. It's like, he's a very different character in the movies than he is in the TV show.
Mm-hmm. He does change a bit. Actually, well, this movie, Insurrection, he's still sort of the same guy. And then Nemesis, he's more action hero-ish.
Yeah, like Insurrection is the closest movie to the show of the four movies as far as Picard's personality.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to. I mean, obviously, you sign up, for a duty like Starfleet that you know that your life might be at risk. And
but not from your own captain. I mean, Kirk isn't even that cold, just a murderer. So.
No, but let me just clarify. I mean, like, you know, if you are in a war situation and there's somebody up on a hill with a machine gun and your orders are to take that person down, but take that guy out with the machine gun, you know, I'm not saying you go straight up the hill right in line of fire, but if your orders are to take that out, that's your job. And it sucks. And, you know, probably some people are going to die. But that's how things worked. I mean, and there's tons of stories like that, especially like World War II and Vietnam. There's tons of stories that go on like that. So it's not comfortable whatsoever. The flip side. Sometimes it's necessary. But the flip side is, even if it's necessary, you don't have to tell them to go on a suicide mission for no apparent reason. That's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially like, and that's where I think Lily came in as a voice of clarity, saying, if we can stop the Borg and get off the ship and save people, let's do it. What are we talking about? You know?
Right.
Just you make know, them dead.
Again, I mean, if you look at the transition of how things went on, you know, they find out the Borg's on the ship, Data gets captured, destroy the deflector dish beacon, and then they have the argument with the blowing up the ship. So everything happens very quickly. It just is divided between different segments of the story, and everything is supposed to happen within a day or so anyways. So
I think it's funny. A lot of times I feel like they do time travel stuff using the deflector dish, but they destroyed it.
So anyways, Dave, what do you want to say about First Contact?
First Contact's a fantastic movie. It is the by far the best of the next-gen movies. As I was starting to listen to it last night, just the opening music with the way they do the credits, how they kind of like are just kind of phasing out. The camera's just pulling back to the names, and they're blurry, then they're clear, they're blurry, then they're clear. It's great. The music is sweeping and epic, and the movie is sort of presented in that way. It was very high-budget-looking, well-done, beautiful. Great, you know, fleet action scene. Finally, you're seeing fleet action in Star Trek where they're taking on a Borg, because they kind of copped out in Worf 359. They just saw the aftermath of the wreckage in Best of Both Worlds. So we actually get to see, like, the battle. And it's a pretty well-done movie. The character of Picard does fall down a little bit in this movie. Like I mentioned earlier, he is not super consistent in how he was in the TV show. He's kind of a little bit crazy in this movie. But, I mean, I guess the stakes are a lot higher. It's all of humanity and all of their future. So, I mean, I guess it sort of can be forgiven.
But, you're not looking to have a tea time with Picard. You know, you're going to a movie, so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a movie, and this is a well-done, well-crafted movie. My issues with Lily is that I just really wish they would have brought in more DS9 characters and not written in Lily, just kept her in sick bay or just on the planet. I would have loved for Kira Nerys to be the part of Lily as far as like the character, because she would have challenged Picard the same way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and she would have been like, yeah, Worf, you're damn right. We should blow up the ship. Like, I mean, it would have been better. It would have been more meaningful, and it would have been great to see Kira and O'Brien, and you know, I don't care if Sisko's in it or not, but it would be nice to see at least a couple people. Dax would have been
Nog.
Great. Yeah, Nog, get Aaron Eisenberg in a movie before he passed away. It'd been great.
Don't you think it's meaningful for her, who's a friend of Zefram Cochrane, to, you know, also have hope and an understanding of the future?
Edith Keeler had that. She went over by a truck. So,
Archie!
I don't know.
Just milk trucks on top of my pelvis.
I just mean it's meaningful.
I mean, from everything I've read about the behind-the-scenes stuff, it seems like Deep Space Nine stuff wasn't even really considered. They just needed to get Worf into the movie, and the only way they get Worf into the movie was by having him flying on the Defiant. Yeah, and Defiant
wasn't really, like, ready to go for movie time.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, you could have had cameos. I mean, the parts didn't have to be big. You could have just had Kira, you know, get up in Picard's face for that one scene, and she didn't have to be there most of the movie. She'd just kind of been a background person and then blow up in Picard's face and like, okay, that makes sense. I don't know.
See, I'm going to disagree with you there, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I just never liked the character of Lily every time I watched the movie. I mean, she's a fine actress. I mean, the parts, she does great with what she's given. I just wasn't a fan of the character. And now, with more Deep Space Nine knowledge and stuff like that, I just feel like the role that she played in changing Picard's mind could have been done by Kira, and it would have had the same outcome, which would have been a kind of fun to see more of a Deep Space Nine kind of combo movie with this one. And we had Robert Picardo playing the Doctor, and we also had Neelix play the Maitre d' on the holodeck.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, we had some great shout-outs to actors from Voyager. Why did Deep Space Nine get zero love? I don't know. It was kind of sad to me. But, I mean, like, you know, if people like Lily, that's great. I just wish they would have done more collaboration between the Star Treks in this movie, and it was a perfect time to do it since the Defiant was there.
Yeah, true.
To me, it's just a missed opportunity. It doesn't make this movie bad in any way, shape, or form. To me, it's only a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Could have been nice to add in some of the Deep Space Nine crew.
Absolutely. It would have been fun. Fun times. But, I mean, the movie's still fun times. It's very well done and very epic, and I wish it was the last next-gen movie, because the next two are just...
I don't know. Insurrection, now looking back, is a little goofy, but it's still okay. And then Nemesis is kind of weird, which we'll get into later.
Absolutely. But so we want to talk about the character of Picard and how any of this may or may not play into Picard. Have we all done our piece on the show, the movie?
What?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is... I think the relationship between Picard and Lily is great. I'm just going to push back just slightly to say that she plays the outsider, so she's looking in and she's poking holes in the theories and ideas that Picard might espouse at that point. So I felt that she's sort of like, you know, yeah, you say all you talk a good game, but you're not all there.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand from a writer's perspective that you got to have like the
foil,
the kind of. It's the, you know, the person, the audience who doesn't know anything about Star Trek can identify with,
and that's perfect. You know, you're getting somebody totally new, did not, you know, that's never been on the ship, and the Picard character can kind of walk you through everything. Again, the Borg Queen, wonderfully done. I have in theory. I've always had a slight issue with the idea of a Borg queen. I always loved the idea of the Borg were just completely just drones, and they're all collectively working together, doing a hierarchy as a Borg queen. Kind of throws that off. It doesn't kill it for me. It doesn't kill the Borg. The awesomeness of the Borg. Could have been like more. Dehumanized, but when you have a queen, you're like, oh, a queen. I would like to be a queen.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I feel like with the, during reading the Memory Alpha on this movie, it seemed like they didn't like the idea of them being 100% zombies. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they wanted to introduce the Borg Queen. Also, the level of seduction between Locutus and Data, so they'd have a weird love triangle at the end of the movie for 5 seconds.
Right. No, I mean, her personifying the Borg helps tell the story quicker as a narrative.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, like, you know, the Borg could come together and, like, you know, the collective consciousness just manifests as a one figurehead that rules them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. But they also are like the droid command ship. Once the Queen's dead, they all short circuit and fall apart. So,
right.
I mean, it's just a quick way to wrap up the story. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because the Borg should be able to just network together and continue working.
But yeah, we were also there was a couple different things they wanted to do. The first treatment was them going back to Renaissance time, and that got shot down.
And then they also wanted to do Roman Empire and have Picard in a toga. And they're like, well, that would be too campy. And I'm like, yeah, that would be pretty rough.
So I think they made the right choice for this. It's a history that's not been made, but it's also obviously a history in Star Trek lore. So, and it's going Zefram Cochrane makes his first appearance ever in the original series in The Metamorphosis, where he looks quite different from the Zefram Cochrane we know now. So, and if you want to hear that, we do the Booze Hound of
episode 5. It's a really old episode.
It's hilarious though. I listened to part of it and it's pretty fucking funny.
Oh man, Booze, that was a fun episode doing the little bit of Zefram Cochrane from the movie and that episode. That was a lot of fun. A long time ago.
Yeah, it's called The Booze Hound from Bozeman.
Yeah, give it a listen. It's great. some of those old ones, man.
Yeah. Okay, so we want to talk about the Picard character.
Sure.
What do you want to say, Dave?
I wonder if this is the Picard we're going to get in the show, the crazy movie Picard, or we're going to get the reserved TV show Picard. Also, if Starfleet questioned him in this point in time, when he's like 24 years younger than he is going to be in the Picard show, they're really not going to want to give him a ship.
Yeah.
If Starfleet is treating him that badly when he's like still sort of in his prime, but a little bit old, now he's like super grandpa. I don't know. I don't even know why he's going to bother going to Starfleet if
they're super grandpa.
If they're treating him this badly while he's still a captain.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, I think they're reserved, obviously, and we don't know where the Borg is at this point. If they're able to, it looks like somehow the Borg technology has been more, you know, figured out at this point.
In First Contact, or
no, in Picard, in the Picard series, what we're seeing. You know, we see it looks like one of the Borg cubes that's been turned into, you know, it's some kind of operations base.
It might be a Romulan running
sure,
it.
Sure, it might be, yeah.
Because I remember you said when you said you slowed down the trailer, you said no simulation since this, and it was Romulans there. That might be the Borg cube we saw. Romulans might be running it.
Absolutely, yeah. For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think, he's much older now. It's 20 years in the future, so I don't think we're going to get full action Picard. So I think we're going to get more reserved Picard.
I hope so. I really hope we get more reserved Picard. And they keep saying that this is going to be a slower paced show and more thoughtful than Discovery, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Holly?
I want Picard to start a revolution and go against the Federation. That's what I want.
That's hilarious.
And I decided this listening to one of the shows I wasn't on these last couple weeks. I don't know. I don't remember where it came from, but I was driving and I was like, I need to fucking tell them.
Then Holly put on Rage Against the Machine.
Less Miserables in Space.
She's putting on Guerrilla Radio.
That'd be great.
But now that's what I want to see. I don't know what to expect, because we're looking at all shades of Picard, and Picard starting a revolution would be a shade we haven't seen before. That, so, I don't know.
That's a very interesting thought, and I really like that idea. If they did that, I don't know how I'd feel about it, but at least that's fucking interesting.
That is interesting, and that could be how Discovery Season 3 could be some weird dystopian future, because Picard went crazy in the 24th century. I mean, who knows? I mean, they're probably going to try and tie them together somehow.
I don't know that they went crazy. I think, you know, if he does do it, it's going to be that he feels super convicted in the understanding that the Federation is corrupt, and he's done a lot of things. Like, all these episodes that we have been discussing, Picard has to make the choice whether or not to follow the Federation way or do it the Picard way, and he typically does it the Picard way. And the Federation has tried to get rid of him, and they silence him, and they tell him to do something that they, you know, they know is wrong. So I don't know. It just, to me, it makes sense. I don't know.
I mean, it would be very interesting if that's how they went with it.
Yeah, I always think about, actually, when we go back to the movie Before Generations, where Kirk tells Picard, don't let him promote you. Don't let him do any take you away from that, the captain's chair, because while you're in the captain's chair, you can actually make a difference. And it always seems like that's the truth, is that when they become admirals, they become raging assholes.
They become corrupt. We haven't seen one decent admiral in Star Trek yet, except for maybe Cornwell. Kirk? Well, Kirk was only an admiral for like half a movie.
And then he got demoted.
Back to captain. He doesn't really count. But he was kind of an asshole to Decker. I mean, so he did still fit the mold of the admiral being this the raging dick. But I don't know. I guess Cornwell sort of wasn't in that. But they kind of tried to
made some questionable choices with not control, but Section 31 and stuff like that.
So. She did. It was kind of hard to figure out where she was at, but I mean, she did like sacrifice herself because doors.
Because doors. Yeah.
Because her face withheld the blast from breaking through and killing Pike.
That's right. That the face that stopped the explosion.
It stopped it. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's always I think institutional issues with any big institution, and hopefully there's enough good people trying to fix things. But who knows? It would honestly, Holly, it's a great idea. If anything was to happen, that would be very fun.
I hope this is supported in the next trailer that comes for Picard. I don't know when we're getting another Picard trailer, but I imagine we'll get one before the new year.
I don't think they'd give away the actual plot, though.
Well, I mean, maybe they could be hints to the plot, because right now there isn't much there other than, like, oh, here's this person, here's this person, here's this person. Oh, look, the Borg, and then that's all we know.
Seem to be in a ship that doesn't seem very Federation-y.
Not at all. It's got that giant hallway for a bridge.
Yeah, it looks like a cargo ship. Yeah, I don't think it's a Federation ship. And obviously, he asked for a ship, and they won't give it to him. So he then gets a Han Solo crew put together.
No respect for the old man.
Get out of here, old man.
Johnson. Can't you give me an old one? I'll even take the Planet Killer for a ride if you would let me.
We can't get Matt Decker scraped out from inside.
Oh, Matt Decker's his son. V'ger's going to come back for the Planet Killer so he can have his dad back.
Come back, Dad. I don't think we're going to get action Picard. I think we're going to get a more reserved Picard. But obviously, he'll take, when you're an old guy and you have as much experience as Picard, you're like, fuck it. What do I got to lose? I'm going to probably die in another year anyways.
Yeah.
So
I'll bring my emergency inhaler just in case.
That's right.
He's teaching a new generation.
The next generation.
Just blew my mind, man.
We're so many layers deep in the Matrix, it's hard to figure out.
How many layers does it take to get to a Tootsie Roll? The world may never know. All right, guys. Well, I think that's pretty good for Star Trek First Contact and looking at Picard. This is a great movie. The only thing is that the movies after this don't really live up to it. I mean, Insurrection has its moments that are fun or nice.
Nemesis Worf getting his zit, moments. Data talking about his breasts firming up.
Nemesis has its moments here and there, but it's
Ron Perlman telling Tom Hardy to take his medicine.
Yeah, Tom Hardy is that his first big role?
Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
I probably. Yeah. I mean, he's the villain. I mean, I'm sure he's had other roles, but like headlining as the villain, probably one of his first bigger ones, I would imagine.
Yeah. Just interesting. So anyways, if you haven't seen First Contact, you definitely need to see it. And
please do.
And if you, have seen it, watch it again.
And the Millennium Falcon, if you pause it just at the right time, you can see the Millennium Falcon fighting the Borg.
Is it in there?
It is in there. It is.
That's awesome. Funny.
It's really hard to see. It's really blurry. It's really far away in the shots. But they did, like, because ILM, Industrial Light Magic, did the CG for the film, and they did just sneak a Millennium Falcon in there. So that's fun.
That's great.
It's
that's
fun. Great. I mean, they stuck R2-D2 in Star Trek and Star Trek in the Darkness because J.J. Abrams loves Star Trek. He's floating out in space both times, I think.
That's great.
Like space garbage.
Space garbage.
Garbage in space.
To be honest, if I could be in a movie that, and I got to like pretend I was like frozen and floating through space, I'd be space garbage.
You wouldn't be space like they get in the space in Discovery.
Woo! Huh? I didn't catch that.
You're going to get space like they do in Discovery. They just beam them out in the space in the mirror universe just to kill them because that's their fun way of murdering people in
that's
Star
how
Trek
they do it.
Discovery.
Hey, as long as I got to be a part, like go on the set and
get be on the transporter pad. Yeah,
act
be fun.
Like I'm dead. Yeah, I'd do it.
Hell yeah. That'd be fun.
It would be fun. It would be totally fun. I would be content with getting coffee and donuts and just watching how shit gets done.
Yeah,
you've said that before.
I know. I really mean it. Like, I always say that, well, you guys don't know, but I always used to say that I would want a career in something that made me feel fulfilled. That would be awesome. And I would probably feel fulfilled doing that.
Coffee and donuts are
very filling. Because I get to see all the ins and outs. Not necessarily the coffee and donuts, but my job would pay for me to be seeing all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah,
and I think that would just be amazing.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'd love
and
to
like,
do
too. Especially now with all the, you know, with the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance coming back, I'm like, oh, I could have decided I wanted to go into a dying, you know, art and then get to be a part of the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance.
Come back. Here.
Yeah.
You know,
they're
all those
amazing.
All those people are like, you know, I'm going to get into being a puppeteer. And their parents are like, oh, my God.
What the fuck?
He's gay.
It's worse. No.
The frogs have turned all the water gay.
He's the puppeteer.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Well,
let's not cast shade on
puppeteers.
Yeah, puppeteers, no, gay people.
No, I just thought it was funny. Just, you're like, he's the puppeteer. Like, he's just taking his hand. Like, I was just being silly. If we don't get killed by incels next week, we'll be talking about the Joker taking a pause from Picard.
Yeah, we might get killed by incels.
Because they threaten to shoot up the Joker movie people. So, that's fun.
I will not be seeing the Joker. Just saying.
All right.
I will watch all further Batman movies in the comfort of my own home. Just saying.
Don't want to bother going to see. Oh yeah, cause the Batman movie got shot up too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, DC movies attract shooters for whatever reason. People hopefully they won't be in Buffalo.
No one shot up the Aquaman movie.
No, yeah, we were fine in that one.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the Aquaman movie on a Millerine Corps base, so that would have been bad if somebody shot up the Aquaman movie.
No.
They look like Bonnie and Clyde with Swiss cheese from all the people shooting back at them.
There's a Marine shooting at the shooting at the screen because they fucking hated it.
Oh, no! I think everybody liked it.
Well, that's good. Cool.
Thank you all so much for listening to our show. We're glad that you could join us. You can catch the rest of our music that we end the show is by Warp 11. You can find that at warp11.com or they're on Twitter at Warp 11. Our intro music.
So
yeah, they do have a new album coming up. Very nice. Our intro music is provided by Dave Wilkes. You can check us out, as I said before. You can go to our website at Synthaholics.com. You can also come visit us at our Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics, and join the group there. Please do. And post memes, chime in on articles that we post, and whatever else you want to say. It's a fun group.
Yeah, the group's been a little more active lately. So, yeah, join in the fun. It's a lot of good interactions.
And if you have anything more to say, if you want to email us, you can email us at Synthaholics.com or at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can also check us out at our YouTube channel at YouTube.com/Synthaholics. You can tweet at us at Synthaholic Duo. I'm personally at Blackbird2004. Dave is at David_J_Duncan. And Holly is at Lunar Thistle. So you can tweet us there. And as always, please go to our Patreon. If you can throw us a couple dollars our way, go to Patreon.com/Synthaholics. Throw us a buck a month. It's not much to ask, just to get to, you know, go buy light bulbs for our podcast shack. And as always, a great way to help the show out is to word of mouth. So if you know people that are looking for a good podcast to listen to, direct them our way and let them know. Let your friends know and your roommates know, coworkers and fellow students.
Absolutely. Let everyone know. And more organic growth we get, the better it is for everyone. Hopefully we'll be able to do more and come to more conventions and meet more people one day in the future. Someday. I would love to do a live show one day. That'd be fun.
When I'm old and gray. Oh, I am. Okay. Anyways. Oh, well, thanks for joining the show, David and Holly. And next week we're going to try to tackle Joker if we don't die.
Yes, that's the plan.
Please don't die.
Don't die.
We will do our best. The more you know.
We'll wear our bulletproof.
If you do, do it with a smile on your face, because you're going to see the Joker.
No, that's right. I'm not going to be happy about dying. That's not on my bucket list. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening, everybody. Live long and prosper, one and all.
I hope I do. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink before the night's over. Shit up, pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever